Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Danny Nesvedarani, your host for this hour of Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Before we start today's episode, I just want to acknowledge that this episode of Speak Up is broadcasted on the unceded and ancestral lands of the Hulkamilam and Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here since time immemorial. And I want to start off today's episode with a piece I produced recently with the Walkers Caucus, a advocacy group based within Burnaby and New Westminster, but have a focus throughout the entire Lower Mainland on pedestrian safety. And recently, they were at New Westminster Public Library handing out free reflective materials for people to put on any sort of mobility device, so like a walker or a cane or a baby stroller. And they are very, very adamant about getting people to think more critically about their own personal safety when going on the street, you know, as a pedestrian, but as well as just policy-wise, what needs to be done in order to make the streets safer for those not in cars. And this is coming at a time especially where road caution has been urged because there have been 6 deaths in the Lower Mainland due to vehicle crashes in the past 3 days. So this is something that is not getting any better, and it's something that we really, really need to be mindful of, and obviously on an individual level be safe, but there is much, much more that needs to be done on an institutional and policy level as well to address this. So without further ado, here is my piece with the Walkers Caucus and Vic Leach. Reporting from New Westminster, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. The Walkers Caucus is an advocacy group for pedestrian safety throughout the Lower Mainland, including the cities of New Westminster and Burnaby. On December 4th, Vic Leach and Amy Wu, as representatives for the Walkers Caucus, were set up with a table at the entrance of the New Westminster Public Library. The table was covered in retroreflective materials, and their goal was to get as many passerbys as possible to stick on these materials to their common mobility devices, including canes, walkers, wheelchairs, baby carriages, strollers, carts, and other items. The goal of this event was to increase pedestrian visibility for road users while also educating people on the risks of walking in areas with poor visibility and road-focused infrastructure. A common sentiment expressed by people who stopped by the table was that this initiative was a great idea, but they had never considered the need to increase their visibility as a pedestrian before. CJSF was able to speak with Vic Leach on the background behind this event and the lessons that he hoped it conveyed for those who passed by.
We're here to put on reflective material on canes and walkers and baby carriages, just so that when people are out at night, they can be seen by drivers of cars because the light will reflect back to them. So that's one of the main things. We understand that in BC we have about 2,300 people that are injured from walking at night. And so those people are going to be going into the hospital, and that's things that could be changed quickly.
Vic Leach then went on to explain the increased risks that pedestrians face when walking at night.
But it's been sort of a passion of mine because of, on pedestrian safety, they said that about 50 to 60% of the injuries take place in the evening or at night. We know that somewhere around about 42% of the deaths with pedestrians takes place at night. Could be higher in certain areas. So drivers are not very good at seeing an individual when they're in dark clothing or even in light clothing because they have so many distractions as they're driving.
Later on, Vic Leach then brought up what some other countries are doing in order to effectively address pedestrian safety.
In studies, most people are not even aware in Canada that there's the United Nations has declared 2021 to 2030 as a decade of action for road safety. This is the second decade of action for road safety declared by the UN. The first one was 2011 to 2020. And we found that Norway has done the best in the world, as far as we can see. And if we did a direct comparison with Norway to BC, we find that going back to a pre-COVID year in 2019, Norway had a population of 5.3 million and BC was at 5.1 million. Norway had 3.8 million motor vehicles and BC only had 3.4. So they had more vehicles, but they ended up with 380 pedestrians injured in that year, and BC ended up with 2,200, six and a half times as many. So that's why we're trying to do things. Well, they're doing some of the things, but it's we found that in Norway, one of the other things that is that they've also reduced the blood alcohol content down to 0.02. That's a federal project. We also found that you have to change the roads and pathways so that people will feel safer. So one of the other things that we're applying to do is get a definition for the term curb ramp, which is the smooth graded transition from the sidewalk to the road. That will allow pedestrians to cross the road in a little bit more time. We've been out with blind people and showing them that if the ramp goes down into the middle of the crosswalk, it's better than going into the middle of the intersection because a blind person can't see where the middle of the intersection or the middle of the crosswalk is. So those are things that we're trying to do.
Vic Leach, Amy Wu, and the Walkers Caucus continue to advocate for safer road conditions for pedestrians, as well as stricter regulations for increasingly popular modes of transportation, such as e-scooters. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca. And once again, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your host for this hour. That was my little discussion I had with Vic Leach of the Walkers Caucus, someone who I spoke with last December when we went on a blind-led walk throughout the Lower Lonsdale area of North Vancouver. And it was a really eye-opening experience. You know, the ethos of it, the message trying to be conveyed there was essentially that you are never going to know how to fully make streets and sidewalks and areas like that safer for everyone until you go on a walk with someone who is blind. And that really taught me a lot. So I'm very thankful for Vic Leach and everything that he has shown and advocated for in that regard. We are going to be switching it up all the way to Kitimat, BC. This is a news piece that was produced by Pamela Hassan from CICK News in Smithers, but this is a piece regarding Kitimat Council rejecting a proposal for a new environmental committee. Apparently, a motion to form a new environmental committee in the district of Kitimat failed to pass at a recent council meeting, despite growing community concerns over industrial impacts such as flaring. This is that piece.
This is CICK News. Today on CICK News, the District of Kitimat Council has failed to pass a motion proposed by Councillor Jerry Leibel to form an environmental committee for the district. He says that council is split between environment first and industry first votes, but thinks there's room for both. Here he is now.
Yep, my name is Jerry Leibel. I'm a councillor on the district of Kitimat. Kitimat is kind of it's on you know it, it's called the marvel of nature and industry. So very much the two are side by side. Sometimes that seems oppositional, but you know I believe that you can you know preserve your environment while promoting industry as well. So the intent behind the motion was to give the public a platform on which to address environmental issues, particularly related to flaring, which was what brought the motion on in the first place.
Okay, great. Was there feedback or comments that you got from your fellow councillors when this motion failed to pass?
What usually happens in our council is, you know, we're pretty split along the lines of who's, you know, sort of pro-industry and who's pro-environment and industry. And it's normally a 4-3 vote. And so most issues relating to the environment don't get much further than the initial motion.
The District of Kitimat has an environmental committee called the Kitimat Airshed Group that was created following a 2019 mediated settlement involving Rio Tinto, the BC Ministry of Environment, local appellants, and Unifor 2301. The agreement resolved appeals related to Rio Tinto's sulfur dioxide monitoring program. Later that year, core members were invited by the ministry to help shape the new group and created Kitimat Airshed Group's bylaws. So why does Councillor Leibel think there needs to be another committee?
Oh, can you tell me what are the terms of reference for this proposed committee, just so that myself and our listeners just kind of have a an idea of what the scope of this committee would be?
So the terms of reference for the committee, so what we'll do is we'll have staff and councillors attend purely to hear what the community is saying and to answer questions from the committee on the issues that we are aware of.
Mm-hmm. I also noticed that you proposed a discussion about the potential use of funds to employ a biologist for the district of Kitimat.
So a few councils actually have biologists on staff that will advise their engineering, will advise their planning as to issues relating to development and the environment. Had a lot of subject matter experts from industry presenting before council. And my kind of wish was to balance the industry's subject matter experts with our own experts to critically analyze the data that they were presenting to us so that from a council point of view, have independent verified information from an independent consultant that we employ.
Mm-hmm. Was this proposed by you, your idea, or were you hearing from like Kitimat Terrace Air Quality Coalition and KAG?
So we had two of our community members come forward to a council meeting and raise the issue of the effects of flaring on their quality of life. And the one presenter actually mentioned that he would be prepared to sit on a committee that was formulated by the District of Kitimat. So that really came about as a result of the you know the requests from our two community members for some kind of relief from the effects of flaring.
Oh, Councillor Leibel, is there anything that I didn't ask about this committee or in this conversation that you think is important to be included?
I think a lot of the time we look at a prosperity of a community as in what the local economy is like. I also see the prosperity of a community and the quality of its environment. You know, we work hard and we like to have an environment into which we can go and play. So it's critical for our community that there is an environment that, you know, is we balance out the need for industry with the need to preserve what we have, to preserve our environment. Mm-hmm. As it is, we're you know, we have LNG Canada, we have Cedar LNG, which is starting off now, and there are talks of a third LNG project in Kitimat, which would, I feel would severely impact our environment. So it is something I'm passionate about because this is a community that I chose to live in. And I think it's important that as council, we balance the needs for a strong local economy, a strong provincial and federal economy with the needs of our community, and protecting the environment is part of that. So the two committee members that came to council, if they didn't dispute how critically important industry is for for Canada and for our community, but they were concerned that the impacts of the flaring weren't being mitigated properly, and that they came to council be heard. And I personally felt that it was important that we establish this committee to give them that voice, to sit them down with members of industry and other concerned environmental groups to really look at strategies to minimize the impact of industry on their certainly their enjoyment of Kitimat.
Mm-hmm. And how do you make this motion pass?
I put forward a motion, calling for money to be spent on looking into the health of our watershed, which is critically important for Kitimat because we have a pretty small watershed and we rely on the Kitimat River for water, not just the industry, but for residential as well. And, keenly aware that our watershed is under pressure. There is, clear cutting that is happening, and we need to preserve that watershed because that is this community's lifeline. So that there is always a give and take on any council. And I'm of the firm belief that when I come to council, I come in with the information that I need, and I make the decision at the council, listening to arguments. And I have changed my vote midstream based on what I've heard from other councillors. So I always hope that the information that I provide, the reports that I do, will go some way in swaying councillors to see the benefits of preserving our environment. And it's interesting that one of our councillors, Graham Pitzel, actually lives in Strawberry Meadows and has personally experienced the effects of it. And LNG Canada has they have done their due diligence. They have put up monitoring equipment around Kitimat, and in the presentation they made last night, they put a lot of emphasis on they're aware of the impacts. They weren't expecting the intensity of the effects of the flaring, and they did kind of acknowledge that last night. And looking forward at mitigation, very much there's the argument that this is a temporary inconvenience, that it is during the startup, and that these flaring events are out of the ordinary and won't be commonplace once LNG Canada is running at full steam. One of the points I raised last night with their noise specialist was I wanted to find out whether they had a baseline of the kind of ambient noises. And what I wanted to do was compare the baseline with where we're at now, because this isn't just about LNG Canada, but we're looking at further industries and the cumulative effect of that on our community and our environment. The previous presentation by LNG Canada, I did ask about trains 3 and 4, and the indication I got it was that we're looking at a duplication of the current noise when they, when and if they go ahead with trains 3 and 4, because that decision hasn't been made yet. And the communication was that, yes, it would be similar to what we're currently experiencing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. You know, the thing with the environment is once it's gone, it's gone.
Thank you to Kitimat Councillor Jerry Leibel for speaking to me. I also reached out to Kitimat Terrace Clean Air Coalition, a group that have been operating since 2018 and advocate for better monitoring of air quality in Kitimat. Here's the Kitimat Terrace Clean Air Coalition president, Steve Stannis, now.
My name is Steve Stannis. I live in Kitimat, British Columbia. I am the president of an environmental group. We are advocating to industry to make the Industrial Avenue air quality monitoring station to include two existing SO2 monitoring with NO2 at that station. NO2 is the main emitter emissions from LNG Canada. Data collection at that station is mostly from Rio Tinto. We also advocate that, I don't know if you're aware that the BC Ministry of Environment and Climate Change maintain and operate a network of air quality monitoring stations throughout BC, and the exception is in Kitimat. The air quality monitoring stations under their permit is being managed and operated by industry in Kitimat. But the air quality network here in Kitimat, we like to see it to be operated and managed by a third party.
What are some effects of poor air quality that people might not notice?
Well, we think some of the effects may be health impacts to people, especially people with respiratory issues. We like to see better management of emissions from industry.
I really appreciate you taking the time and introducing me a little more intimately to what your group does. Steve, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Okay, good, Pamela. Good to talk to you.
CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.
Once again, thank you to Pam Hassan and CICK News for that piece. And you are back listening to Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Before we get into the next section of this hour, we're going to be taking a bit of a music break with a band that has just been dominating the charts here at CJSF. This next track, Blue Blazer, by none other than Self Care. We'll be right back. And once again, you are listening to Speak Up, only on a CJSF 90.1 FM. That last track was Blue Blazer by Self Care. Coming up, we have a full-length interview that was done by one of our amazing volunteers here at CJSF. This is an interview coming from Florentina Rusli. And this was an interview that she did with the owners of the Tamam Fine Palestinian Cuisine in Vancouver, speaking to them about their role within the Palestinian community here in Vancouver, as well as some of the events that they have going on at their restaurant in the coming months and ones that have already occurred. So without further ado, here is Florentina speaking with the owners of Tamam Restaurant in Vancouver.
Hello, my name is Florentina, and today I'm visiting Vancouver's own Tamam, a Palestinian fine cuisine restaurant. I'm joined today here with the lovely Sobi. So, Sobi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Flo.
Yeah.
Thank you, Flo, for the interview and for the introduction.
Yeah. So maybe we could start things off first with a little bit of an introduction of yourself.
About myself. Again, my name is Subhi Al-Zubaydi. I'm Palestinian, born and raised in Palestine. My background in studied economics, filmmaking, cinema studies, and visual communication.
Oh, where did you study?
I studied in Palestine, in New York City, and SFU.
All over the world? SFU, too?
Yeah.
Wow, oh, gosh.
And I'm a poet. I write poetry since I was a kid. Filmmaker, I made many films about Palestine, documentaries, and I also have interest in scholarly research. So I do research about Palestinian culture and arts, especially Palestinian cinema and visual arts.
I guess from there, maybe you could tell a little bit more about the restaurant as well.